Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is David Cohn. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, January 12th, 2022. Hope everybody's doing well. Kay LaGreca and Rosenberg, and of course you, right here on 98.7 ESPN and across the world on the Yes Network. We're on until 6:30 today with the Ranger pregame show at that point. But we start off today. Woody Johnson has spoken, and he is ready to open his wallet. He is ready to spend what he has to spend to get the quarterback. He's saying that is the missing piece. He spoke with the media today, and frankly, you know, that makes you think, well, he's willing to spend whatever it takes. Well, who's out there that you're willing to spend a lot of money on? Is it Derek Carr? Is it Lamar Jackson? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Does Aaron Rodgers want the headache of being dissected by the New York media? Because he is a little bit quirky, probably gets a little bit of a pass in Green Bay. Be a different story here in New York. So, Don and Peter, he could have all the money in the world to spend. How's he spending it? At least it does show you they're not going into the season with Zach Wilson as their starting quarterback.
No, and they did say that they still believe in Zach. Now, I don't think that's about leverage for trading him. I think that's, well, if we don't get the big-name quarterback, I guess we're going to have to figure out a way to make it work with Zach. Because can you get the big-name quarterback, and who's the big-name quarterback? Is it Derek Carr? Is it Daniel Jones? Is there a way to convince Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady to come here? Like, where, or is it really, hey, I'm willing to talk to anybody, and I'm not going to let money be an object? I don't know if they can say, that Peter, that they have actually got their sights on a particular individual.
Break the bank makes you think that they're open to the craziest ones. You know, that Brady, because Brady, I'm guessing Brady'd be the most expensive. Well, but Brady doesn't always demand that much money, so I don't know if that's true. The Rodgers deal, isn't Green Bay on the hook for him for like $100 million?
Right, but he could walk away too.
So he could still walk away, but that doesn't mean, but if they're on the hook for $100 million, does that mean you're going to have to break the bank to get Rodgers?
Yeah. I mean, you think Rodgers is going to walk away? I mean, next year I think he's due $54 million. You think if he leaves Green Bay, he's going to take less money? And as for Brady taking less, I think those days are over. He took less with the Patriots. I don't think he would take less with anybody else. He wasn't underpaid with the Bucs.
Well, I was going to say that if they're willing to break the bank on one of those two guys, then all of a sudden the idea to me of not giving up on Wilson could mean we're going to spend 2 years with him behind one of the greatest of all time, and we feel good about where he'll be after that. I don't think that's likely. I don't think it's likely they get Brady or Rodgers, and I think Zach Wilson's likely done. But there's an argument to be made that there are certain guys that could come in where Zach could still have a role and learn, et cetera.
See, I don't think that Wilson's done. I mean, I was a little taken aback when we had Rich Samini on with us yesterday. He said the Jets realized what he is. He's at best a backup quarterback or a bottom-of-the-line quarterback. You've decided that in 2 years?
Well, where is he going to get an opportunity? Michael, if you go out and get it, let's say you get Derek Carr.
Who's got maybe what? Not with the Jets, but think he's forever locked into being a backup quarterback in the NFL? He's 22 years old.
Well, I still think there might be – you're telling me that there aren't coaches out there that can figure out a way to make it work?
Brian Daboll could figure it out.
You know, I'm sure – you know, there's a lot of coaches out there that would look at that talent and say, I can make it work. Now, would it ever justify the second overall pick in the draft? You know, maybe not. But to say he's done, but he's got to be done with the Jets. If they go out and get Derek Carr for the next 2 years – then he's not – if he's not going to play for the next 2 years, Michael, then where is he going? He's going to be a free agent at that point. You're not bringing him back. I think they're going to get some quarterback, and really any of the quarterbacks available would be better in 2023 than Zach Wilson would be. But break the bank, is it – Or is he just making the statement, we're going to turn over every rock, we're going to get another quarterback, and money is no object? But I don't know if Woody Johnson knows exactly who he's talking about. It's just somebody that's not Zach.
You know, it's interesting because yesterday I said, you know, what does Woody Johnson know, a good offensive coordinator or not? But, you know, he does have friends in the NFL. So I'm sure there are people whispering in his ear. Remember, he got a call from Peyton Manning regarding Adam Gase.
Yay!
So you just never know who's guys like that, they listen to people. And there could be people that have high standing in the NFL within the league offices that are telling him things. So it's not just Woody Johnson spouting off, I don't think this guy's a good offensive coordinator, or I'm going to spend a lot of money for a quarterback. I'm sure he's being advised by other people.
Well, you know, Ron Wolf was somebody that advised him, I guess, what was it, on Bowles and McCagnon, right?
Yeah.
Do I have the timeline correct? No, he knows people. And listen, it didn't take a brain surgeon to figure out that they needed another quarterback and needed another offensive coordinator. But it's, but what comes first, guys? The chicken or the egg here? Are you getting the quarterback and then the offensive coordinator? Or do you get the offensive coordinator and bring the quarterback in? I mean, if you bring in Derek Carr, you kind of need to bring in an offensive coordinator like an Olsen or somebody that's worked with him before to make it work. But if you're going to, but if it's a different quarterback, it might be a different OC. That's what's interesting. I don't know if I hire the offensive coordinator before I get my quarterback.
God.
Yeah, but can you hire an offensive coordinator before you get your quarterback?
Well, it depends, I guess, who the quarterback is.
Now, we have said over and over and over again, because we've had him on every week since the season started, we like Robert Saleh. He's not covering himself in glory of late, okay? He tried to explain the LaFleur leaving, and here was Saleh today talking about that.
I was trying to do right over the course of the few. Like I said, he had options, and there was a lot of discussion over the last 3 days. And you guys know I love Mike, love his family, all that good stuff. And, you know, if it was something that he wanted to pursue, and we just gave him the ability to go do that.
Again, just nonsense. So somebody had the good sense, and we're in the middle of the gangrene report brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. Somebody had the good sense to ask him, well, wait a minute. If you wanted to keep Mike LaFleur, you couldn't keep him? Here's what he said.
I was trying to do right by people. And like I said, he had options, and there was a lot of discussion over the last 3 days. And you guys know I love Mike, love his family, all that good stuff. And, you know, if it was something that he wanted to pursue, and we just gave him the ability to go do that.
Really? Coach, really?
Well,
I mean, is he getting an offensive coordinator job anywhere else? Stop it.
Well,
he was fired.
There are good people that get paid a lot of money to follow these reports. So I would think very soon, within the next 24 hours, we should hear a report that Mike LaFleur is interviewing for whatever job, right? If there are opportunities.
Don, unless he's interviewing for a head coaching or an offensive coordinator job, that is nonsense what Saul is spewing. No, it's nonsense.
Well, no, first of all, you don't make a lateral move without permission. So if they wanted to interview him for a head coaching position, they would say, sure, go ahead. We're not going to
hold you back. We'd
already
know that, by the way.
But if you're going to make a lateral move, they could say, no. You know, we're not going to let you interview for a lateral move. In this case, okay, you want to interview for another OC job? Go ahead, because we don't want you back. And if that's the case, if that's what he's talking about, he's getting other opportunities. We're not holding him back. He wasn't fired. It's just that he's getting other opportunities. Let him pursue other opportunities. Well, what are those opportunities? We should find out soon. Adam Schefter should tweet something. Mike LaFleur right now is in Green Bay.
But
it
would already
happen. You know, and if that doesn't happen, then you know it's all BS.
Michael, it sounds like you're starting to get to my side of the fence.
I am.
In that, like, he's really likable, but it's almost scary how much he can, like, lie with a smile on his face. Like, this is crazy. Pretending that LaFleur didn't get let go, that's almost as crazy as, oh, I love Zach Wilson. We love him. We believe in him. There's no problem. It's a little wacky.
It's almost as if somebody came up to Peter and his contract is up and he had offers from Walmart and Target to be a cashier there.
Mm-hmm. Two good jobs.
Right. Two good jobs, but not as good as the one you have.
Not as easy, certainly.
Right. So then the pinhead suits say, you know what? He's getting other offers. We're going to give him permission to go. And Peter would actually take one of those other jobs and leave this one.
And I know.
They talk to us and they talk to the fan base like we're idiots. We're not idiots.
This is a weird one. This one's actually a little wacky. And like, by the way, you know, Rivera just let go of Scott Turner. Scott Turner had been with him for like 7 years. someone had to be on the chopping block, pal. I'm sorry. That's how this game goes. You can't pretend that no one got leg. How long is the charade going to go on for? Is he going to keep it going into next year? I mean, we're going to know, like Michael said, unless we find out next week that he gets, you know, Eric Bieniemy is leaving. He's heading to Kansas City. Like, unless we hear something like that, he was clearly let go.
Now, I think what Don said yesterday probably has the greatest level of legitimacy, where LaFleur might have come to him and said, listen, I got other jobs. I don't want to put you in this position. And then Woody today, again, looked everybody in the eye, said, had nothing to do with LaFleur. Okay, I'll play along, Woodster. You had nothing to do with it. But I'm sorry. It had to be LaFleur saving Sala's butt, because Sala maybe was willing to go to the wall for him,
right,
and lose his job. And LaFleur, being friends with Sala, said, no.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'll get a job. Don't worry about it. Please don't lose your job about this.
Yeah,
there's only 32 of them.
Don't go to war for this, because then we're both going to be out of jobs next year. So let me walk away. That's where I really felt like LaFleur. LaFleur's been good with Sala, back and forth. But really, can Sala afford to go to war with the owner of an NFL team and expect to win? And now he's gone. All right, so he's gone. Now, what do we do about it? OC first, quarterback first, then OC. It really depends on who the quarterback is. Because if you're going to bring in a veteran quarterback, don't you want him to work with somebody he's familiar with that runs a system that he excels in, rather than trying to sign or trade for a quarterback and then force that OC upon that quarterback?
There's a lot of things that stand in the Jets' way. Any offensive coordinator that comes here knows that Sala is on a win-or-go situation. He's got to make the playoffs next year. And if he doesn't, then the whole staff is going to be let go. Now, an offensive coordinator, a big-name offensive coordinator, could say, well, maybe I'll be the candidate. Do you really want to be that guy, coach the last three games, and have an inside track of the interview? No. So you got to be sure who your quarterback is, and you can do the job. And Sala, to his credit, said he's not putting any certain type of offensive coordinator in the crosshairs, or this is the type of guy I have. He's going to be open to interviewing everybody, every style. And you're right, Don. It matters who the quarterback is going to be, too. But Miami might need a quarterback. You know that the Raiders need a quarterback. A lot of teams that need quarterbacks.
Hey, you know, for all we know, the Giants may need a quarterback. We don't know exactly how they feel about Daniel Jones, how far they're willing to go with Jones. What if Jones wants $40 million a year and they say goodbye? Now the Giants are in the market for a quarterback. We could actually see an offseason where both teams are trying to figure out Daniel Jones, right? I mean, when you hear about breaking the bank, is what that Woody saying, hey, I'd be willing to give $40 million a year to Daniel Jones?
Now, Woody also said there's no playoff mandate for Sala or Joe Douglas. Okay, I'll play along again. I mean, really, I don't even know. And we're kind of biting off our nose to spite our face over here. But why do these people even address the media? Why do they even talk to fans? They're not telling the truth.
But they're just not. But I don't listen. I understand that sometimes a playoff mandate is unrealistic. All right, like what did Mara say last year? You know, we just want to improve, or you kind of
play important games in December.
Which the Jets did. But if you're going to go break the bank for a quarterback, and you believe you have, as they say, a championship defense, and you've got all these great weapons, you're telling me that you don't expect to make the playoffs if you get Derek Carr as your quarterback, when everybody in the world felt like it was your quarterback that held you from making the playoffs this year?
Right.
And you're going to tell me there's not a mandate to make the playoffs? Come on. Unless he's saying, I'm not sure I can get the quarterback.
This would be Sala's third year. I'm not sure that Douglas would go, although Douglas has the blood of selecting Zach Wilson with the second pick in the draft on his hands.
Now, is that Woody just being coy because he doesn't know he's going to get the quarterback? Because I don't know if I want to say that the playoffs are a mandate if Zach Wilson's my starting quarterback next year.
If they go into the season with Zach Wilson as their starting quarterback without any competition, they're in bad shape.
Oh, very bad shape.
I think they'll get a quarterback. The level of what type of quarterback they'd get, I'm not quite sure.
But of all the quarterbacks, I'll go as far as to say, if Baker Mayfield was their quarterback all year, they're in the playoffs. So I believe if they got Baker Mayfield as the starting quarterback for 2023, I think the Jets are a playoff team.
Now, I don't have
any love for Baker Mayfield, but yeah, I do like what's around this Jet team.
I was listening to Barton Hahn driving, and Rob Ninkovich was on. Mm-hmm. And Alan asked him, well, who would you take if you were the Jets? Would it be Carr? I forget the other name he asked him. Another big name. And you know what Ninkovich said? Jacoby Brissett. He said, Carr is what Carr is. He said, I'm sorry, that's just who he is. He said he's going to throw a pick. He said he'll make mistakes, and he'll play well enough to get you to fall in love, but he's not great. He said, Jacoby Brissett, if it wasn't for the fact they traded the farm and the house and the penthouse to get their quarterback, he would have started the whole year with the Browns. So that's another option, too. You don't have to look at the big-name guy. Look at the guy you think could do the job.
Yeah, look, try to find a Geno Smith. But
right.
You know what Geno Smith
needed? Geno Smith is going to be a free agent, too.
But Geno Smith needed Pete Carroll. Do you have that there? The ability to help turn someone into something they've never been before.
Right. But I think any quarterback that's available would have made the Jets a playoff team this year.
I agree.
So what have we learned? We've learned that Robert Saleh didn't let go of LaFleur. He just did him a favor because there's so many offers piling in that, you know, he didn't want to hold them back. You know, just good things for people. So that's, we learned that. We learned that Woody will spend anything for a quarterback within reason with a salary cap, and that there's no playoff mandate. So what we've learned, what do we believe? Probably the middle thing. I think he will spend anything to get a quarterback. I believe there is a playoff mandate. He doesn't have to articulate it. Saleh knows. I don't know if Douglas is on alert. And I don't believe that Robert Saleh did a nice thing for LaFleur. I think LaFleur was going to get fired, and they're kind of spinning it so they're not bad guys. And Woody also said about developing Zach Wilson, I don't think we did everything the right way. Really, Woody? I agree. The thing that gets me about the Zach Wilson situation, everything is put on the poor guy, Greg Knapp, who got run over by a distracted driver while he was riding a bike 2 weeks before camp. Greg Knapp would have changed the history of the world. I know he was great with quarterbacks, but that's the guy? That's the reason why Zach Wilson hasn't been able to reach his potential?
It's weird because he was hired as the quarterback's coach and until his unfortunate passing. But, Michael, if he worked wonders on Wilson, he would have been gone at the end of last year. Right. Because then somebody would have gobbled him up and said, well, we want you to be our offensive coordinator, right? So I don't think he was going to be forever the quarterback's coach.
Also, Don, if he was such so great with quarterbacks, why wasn't he hired as the offensive coordinator rather than LaFleur, a 35-year-old? Makes no sense.
Yeah,
if he was
that
vitally important, shouldn't he be the offensive coordinator?
Well, if you remember, the guru for Sam Darnold was Josh McCown.
Right.
They paid $10 million a year for him to hold a clipboard and was supposed to help, and he probably did help. So that's why I think getting the right offensive coordinator is as important as getting the quarterback, unless you're going to go out and get yourself an established one like a Brady or a Rodgers, and then I think their quarterback play in itself would be more than enough for you to be able to compete to make the playoffs next year. But if you're going to go out and get a project, and Brissett might be somebody you're going to want to have to work with, a good offensive coordinator, that's a different direction, I think, than if you go out and you get Derek Carr.
Absolutely is.
You know, so I think you got to really go after the quarterback. And if I'm a quarterback, do you want the embarrassment, Michael, of, boy, I would have went to your team if you didn't sign that guy as your offensive coordinator, right? You don't want that. So don't you think you go in fresh by not hiring the offensive coordinator and getting the quarterback first?
No, I don't think you do, Don. I hear what you're saying, but I think you got to have the offensive coordinator to know what type of quarterback you should get. Because then you're doing it bass-ackwards. Then you're getting the quarterback, and you're going to try to fit in the offensive coordinator, and that guy might not be available.
But but that's why you should be at work with it right now. But you've got to be able to, because you don't even know what system you're running. They're not going to force a system. Whatever quarterback, whatever system he's used to playing is what they're going to play. So what if you hire an offensive coordinator who runs one system, and then the quarterback that becomes available to you isn't comfortable with that system or isn't comfortable with that coach? So I think you kind of have to listen to semantics of who actually gets introduced first, but I think you got to start talking to quarterbacks and maybe picking their brain. Who are some of the offensive minds that you'd like to work with here? Because we'd be open to getting the OC that you want, like something like that. Like read the tea leaves a little bit rather than being stuck with one offensive coordinator and then a different type of quarterback.
Connor Hughes, who covers the Jets for SNY, said Robert Saleh said the new offensive coordinator will have a say in what the Jets do at quarterback. So I think it's that way first. Chicken comes first rather than the egg.
Okay. But you got to have something in mind.
I agree.
With who your quarterback's going to be with that offensive coordinator.
You know what I think is going to be the most fascinating thing this offseason? If the Giants let Daniel Jones become a free agent, I think Woody is obsessed with the Giants, whether he wants to admit it or not. That's why he should get out of there when his lease is up in 25 and build his own stadium. But that's beside the point for another day. He will move heaven and earth to get Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones, I think, would be dumb to go there. If the Giants give a competitive offer and you got something good going with Dable, why would you go to the Jets where it's been a graveyard for quarterbacks? Even if they give you $5 million more a year.
Well, maybe it won't be $5 million more. Maybe it'll be $10 million more a year. You know, if the Jets are going to break the bank and Woody wants to steal away the quarterback from the Giants, would he be willing to go to 40?
He might.
And then if the Giants are only willing to go to, say, 30, 32, something like that, I mean, Daniel Jones may be like, I'm going to take the $20 million more over the next 2 years or however many years the contract ends up being, and I'll go play for the Jets. I won't have to move. You know, because I just don't know how the Giants feel. You said it, Michael. Maybe they look, we did this with Daniel Jones. We could do it with somebody else who's better. All I know is right now it seems like it's folly, but it might be the Giants competing for these same quarterbacks too at the end of the season if they don't want to give that much more money than Daniel.
Both of the tenants at MetLife, Don, I think the Giants would gladly take Zach Wilson.
You really think so?
Oh, yeah, because I think Dable could fix him. Because the guy, listen, there might be issues about commitment or whatever, or the way he studies and things like that. He's got arm talent, and he also has escapability. His mind is all messed up. You put him with the right person, I think he could be a good quarterback. And I think the Jets look at Daniel Jones as somebody who is more established and has proven he can handle the New York market. They'd be in the market for both of them, and it'd be hilarious.
It is true. Because Daniel Jones does exactly enough to help the Jets. And Zach Wilson... I assume you guys would agree. Zach Wilson, talent-wise, has a higher ceiling than Daniel Jones. So if you believe that you're capable of fixing Zach Wilson, then literally trading the positions of both quarterbacks actually makes perfect sense.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Robert Saleh said, really, we just did the right thing for LaFleur. We let him go because he had so many people looking to hire him. So you decide what you'd like to believe in. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Will in Union Square. We'll start off with him. Will.
How you doing, guys? Love the show.
Thanks.
But I have to disagree with what Peter said about Zach Wilson's potential. Zach Wilson is never going to be Justin Herbert. He's never going to be Josh Allen. These are two guys who have strong arms, but they're big guys, and they're accurate. I mean, even though Josh Allen wasn't accurate at first,
he's gotten accurate.
Mm-hmm. But problem with Wilson is he's just bad at everything. His decision-making, even in his attitude. If you remember that press conference, the guy barely got the words out of his mouth. Do you take any responsibility? He said no before he even finished the question. So he's been so bad at everything. I think it's the potential is not there. You got to have accuracy. You got to have know how to timing. You got to have the footwork. He's just been bad at everything. You know what he is? He's a playground player, a guy who could stand there, run around, tell the guy to go down the field and throw it down the field and hit him.
You mean like Brett Favre?
You know. But
Brett Favre's going to Hall of Fame.
But the big thing about Brett Favre is Brett Favre can actually complete a screen pass. Brett Favre can actually complete a pass to the other hash mark and hit him on a dime.
Well, no, Brett Favre had a cannon. Things. He had a cannon. I mean, Zach.
I know, but he also had the accuracy to go
well,
with
but,
it.
Well, but I agree that he's not going to be Justin Herbert, all right? He's not going to be a great quarterback. But you look at Geno Smith, okay? Geno Smith, his rookie year, completed 55.8% of his passes for 3,000 yards, 12 touchdowns, 21 interceptions, getting a chance to play every game. And then the rest of his career, 59.7, 64.3, 57.1, 58.3. Then he goes to Seattle, completes 80% of his passes, and goes out there and throws for 4,000 yards. Like, how did that happen? Did anybody see that coming? Anyone. Now, I wouldn't put Geno Smith up there with the greats, but he's going to get votes for MVP. He got his team into the playoffs. So you're telling me the right coach, the right atmosphere, Zach Wilson can't be a serviceable quarterback in this league and maybe win some games with the right team?
Well, that's
of course
why I think
he could.
I think Will made some good points for sure. The part that I would disagree with him is that he's saying the difference is he can't complete a screen pass. That not being able to complete a screen pass, that's the mental part that's broken. You telling me you don't think this kid who's been a star since he was 12, you think he has no ability to complete a screen pass? No, there's something wrong. There's something broken. And can that be fixed?
And again, just not to exaggerate, Geno, 69.8% completion percentage, almost 4,300 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. Did anybody see that coming from Geno Smith? So I think there's talent there. He's a mess, right, Michael? He's broken. The reason you can't complete a screen pass is not that you don't have the ability to do it. Something's in your head. All right, maybe he just couldn't handle New York. Maybe he couldn't handle being the second overall pick. If he isn't completely damaged by this, if he ends up with the right team and the right coach, I think he can give you some wins and be a decent quarterback in this league. I'll go as far as decent. Is that fair?
I think so. I don't think he's a shot player.
I think he shot with the Jets.
I mean, I'm
not even sure about that. Let's say he sits for 2 years. They have two more years of him on a contract. And they think that they see something there. Then, at the end of the fourth year, when the veteran is gone, you don't have to sign him to a deal like Daniel Jones is going to get. You could sign him to a decent deal and get yourself a quarterback for a lower price.
The only reason I'll disagree with the Jets, because I do think part of the problem here is New York and the media and the expectations. When they say reset, to me, the best reset for him is just go someplace else where there's zero expectations. You're a done quarterback, and then like Geno Smith, nobody was thinking about Geno Smith. He was bouncing around, and then there's no expectations on him replacing Russell Wilson. They were going to rebuild, and then they have an amazing season. That's what he needs. He needs to go someplace with a good coach, zero expectations, clear his head, and then you might have something. I don't think it can happen here.
Let's go to Gary in New Jersey. Gary.
Hey, fellas. What's going on? How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Just wanted to talk about the old adage, any given Sunday. Do you guys think that's more evident now in today's football as opposed to 10, 20 years ago? And, you know, piggybacking off of that, you know, everyone talks about, you know, the regular season, you know, you want to get wins, you want to get the first seed, you want to get that bye week. But besides that first seed and that bye week, you know, and again, piggybacking off what I just said, is it more so just about getting into the playoffs and who is playing their best football right now? You know, throw records out the window when you get to the playoffs. Who's playing their best football at this point? You know, and you talked about the NFC. You know, I'm a big Giants fan, you know, with the Giants. Like, you could argue that the Giants the past 3-4 weeks have been playing better football than Dallas and your Philadelphia. Just wanted to know what you guys thought.
Well, I would agree with your first part, Gary. I think it's more of any given Sunday than it's been in 20 years. But I don't believe that a team like the Philadelphia Phillies could make a run to the Super Bowl. I think the teams with the most talent are the ones that are going to win, usually in the NFL. I think you're going to see the Bills or the Chiefs there. I just think that's the way it's going to end up. Now, the NFC is more of an any given Sunday playoffs because I don't think there's any dominant team. Would you guys agree?
Yes. I think that's sports in general. With the exception of the NBA, I think sports are wide open where you can make runs. Like the Phillies going to the World Series. You see low seeds in the NHL make runs all the time. And in football, we've seen wild card teams win Super Bowls. Both of the Giants championships, Michael, and again, they're not overly recent, but they're somewhat recent, you know, came with teams that didn't get a bye. The Giants in their two runs, the eight playoff games they had in their two runs, you know how many home playoff games they had? One.
Right.
And they won two Super Bowls. And then you see a team like the Rams. Rams win the Super Bowl, go through a couple of injuries, and then you're like one of the worst teams in the league. I think that with the NBA has been able to hold true. You have to be a great team to win. In the other three sports, Michael, I'm not sure you have to be a great team, be hot, be healthy, when you get to the postseason and you have a legitimate shot.
Let's go to Carlisle.
Oh, I like that name. How are you?
Carlisle.
How do you get a name like Carlisle?
Yes. How you doing? This is Carlisle Jones from Lindenhurst.
Mm-hmm. I love the name, Carlisle.
How you doing there, Mike? First-time caller?
All good.
Hey, to resolve the Jets situation, Mr. Douglas had the football, and he fumbled it. When they had the choice of getting Justin Fields, I felt he fumbled the football.
That's funny, Carlisle. In all likelihood, he didn't have to use the second pick to get Justin Fields. If you look at what Miami got, I believe it was Miami, for trading the third pick, the Jets could have gotten a king's ransom for that second pick, taking Ja'Marr Chase with one of the first rounders that they got, and then they still could have gotten Justin Fields. So that was a bad move, especially the way it's turned out now. You thought this guy was worthy of the second pick, and then your now departed offensive coordinator came out and said, you know what, in all likelihood, he shouldn't have started in the first year. The second pick in the draft should not have started a game in the first year. Eli Manning started, what, after nine games, right, Don?
Yeah, they were five and four, right.
I mean, you got to have some playing time, some daylight when you're the second pick in the draft. I think that this will be the black mark on the legacy of Joe Douglas. How did you mishandle this so bad? It's like, well, it was Bobby Bethard, right, who made the Ryan Leaf pick. These are awful, awful things on otherwise really glittering resumes.
Right, but how do we know that Justin Fields would have went the same way as with Wilson with this coaching staff? And, you know, and there were other things, too. Again, I'm not going to take the Jets off the hook, Michael, but clearly it was a mistake to start him immediately. Clearly the nap death was hurt them, or at least hurt Wilson for sure, as far as his development. Getting hurt the first preseason game this year and missing all of camp certainly did not help his situation at all. And there was a fragility there that he just couldn't take it. So it wasn't exactly the perfect first couple of years for Zach, but what really killed me was, with all that said, he was given an opportunity on a silver platter against Detroit and Jacksonville to win his job back.
It was set up pretty nicely.
It really was.
And by the way, speaking of which,
that a team like the Philadelphia Phillies could make a run to the Super Bowl. Well, you know exactly what I meant, Peter.
Well, we all know what every drop means.
No, but I said it exactly the way I wanted to say it.
You know you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Oh,
because the Philadelphia Phillies making the World Series,
yes,
they couldn't have made the...
Oh. Yeah, he did. You're right. That's an interesting argument.
I'll give Michael that it's on the table. I still think he
No,
misspoke.
I did not. I swear I didn't
Play it
misspeak.
Again.
That a team like the Philadelphia Phillies could make a run to the Super Bowl.
A
team like the Philadelphia Phillies,
the second
team with 87 wins.
This is why repetition is good, Michael. I'm now on Michael's side. I think
what was
delete
the sentence,
the drop.
What was the sentence before? That's the key.
No,
like, was there...
no, listen. Delete the drop. No, take a stand, Peter. Anthony,
can't.
For the second consecutive day.
Has to delete a drop.
We'll
you
delete
know what?
A drop. And I think this one is right because I think Michael knew exactly what he was talking about, and it's out of context, and it's not right. Yesterday, I wasn't willing to have it deleted. I didn't think it should be in the tournament. This should be deleted.
Because you're saying Michael's...
No.
I just think
he was right. He just he did not misspeak. It did not deserve to be a drop.
You're living up to our reputation as the hack yo-yo sidekicks who just approve of everything Michael does.
Yeah, I heard that. Because I'm going to retire anyway, so what's in it for you?
I don't know. I just love you, and you're right with everything
It really
you do.
Bothers me when people call me that. Especially people that I
but
respect.
I made that part up. Was that included in the actual thing I just said?
Yes.
It's been said many times before. Okay. If you listen to the show, Michael and I disagree like 90% of the time, and I've got no problem going up against Michael. But when he's right, he's right.
I agree with you. The problem with you, Don, is you both need to make better decisions on who you respect in this business.
No, Michael K.
That's all I'll say.
What's that supposed to mean, Michael?
He's saying that the person that you say that you respect.
Not just one.
He doesn't think he doesn't respect him.
Correct. And I not many people that come up that you guys go, wait a minute. And
I
go,
so somebody that I truly do respect,
okay,
that I've known for a long time, says something against me that's got to wipe away the entire history?
Yeah, I think it should.
I think that's an overreaction.
Well, it depends. You know, like, for example, there's another unnamed local media personality,
Joey Badbutt.
His name sounds something like
Ballard.
Who, out of the blue, out of the clear blue, just decided to throw haymakers at Michael. And Michael's for a while was like, I think he's to me. I read into it. I go, why? I don't throw haymakers. I may be critical of people I know, but I don't throw haymakers. That's not right. It's not right.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
I don't even think this was a haymaker. I think it was a jab. It was a jab and a byproduct of the name of the show. I am going to let said person, or actually unsaid person, off the hook.
So you have respect for said person who actually moved into a ready-made furnace penthouse that was made by somebody else, and now is taking credit and preening as if he created that penthouse. He had nothing to do with that penthouse.
He's my friend.
He just moved in because the other guy got thrown out. The other guy built it.
I'm awkward to make comment because I'm not 100% sure we're talking about the same person.
I think we're talking about the
same
person.
Well, give me initials.
You want me to, want me to go? Here, I'll turn the mic off and I'll tell you.
What was that?
Okay, we are talking about the same person. I'm going to stand by him.
All right, good for you.
I'm going to stand by him.
Good for you. I didn't hear it, so I'm reserving judgment. I just read, tweets.
No, I heard it secondhand. But the person I heard it from, I have all the respect in the world for, and that's Anthony Pusick.
well, let me just tell you, because anything that's bad about us is written. I think you should read it, and I think you'd probably not think the same thing about
said person.
Is it in print?
Yeah, it's in print now. It's on online.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know, I said some things earlier in the week that last night I really came under fire for. And what I'd like to do right now is double down on those comments.
Oh, what? I didn't expect this today.
Rocky IV is the worst Rocky movie of all time. And you could at me all you want. I've given it a lot of thought. IV is the worst.
Worse than five.
Five is second.
Oh, this
worst.
Is Michael.
The best is one. Second best is three. Third best is two. Fourth is five. And the one where he actually thinks he ended the Cold War with a boxing match against Drago is number five. If you don't like it, I don't care. You can at me all you want. A lot of people said I was out of my mind. I stand by what I said. I'm a Rocky aficionado.
Well, no, not obviously you're not. So, real quick, you're telling me in good conscience, because there actually is an argument to be made,
right,
for one, two, and three being better than four. I would disagree on two being better than four, but that's fine. You can argue it. You trying to even get, I'm going to give you another opportunity. You want to say out loud you believe Rocky V with Tommy Morrison, God rest his soul, is better than Rocky IV?
Yes.
The one that culminates not with a fight in the ring, but a street fight in an alley?
Yes, because it led you into what Rocky's life was going to be like after that. If you've consumed the Balboa movies and the Creed movies.
Well, that's nice. It doesn't change the film itself, though, at the time. There was 15 years in between those movies.
I understand that. At least it was well done and more realistic than 4 was. 4 was entertaining, and as you mentioned, had a good soundtrack.
Phenomenal.
But it was ridiculous.
No, but you're allowing Rocky IV to be solely defined by, as you see it, the unrealistic finish with Rocky saying to everyone in Moscow, I can change, you can change, we can all change.
Right. He changed Mikhail Gorbachev.
Hold on.
He changed them.
So they had
an actor with a port wine stain on his head, too.
But by the way, you're allowing just that to define the entire 2 hours?
I'm sorry. The end of movies define the movie for me.
But like the scene leading up, and it's interesting because Sylvester Stallone recently said he regretted killing off Apollo's character. But that
he killed off everybody.
Yeah, he did. But that scene,
except for Paulie,
that scene when Apollo dies is done. It's terrifying to this day. Watching that whole buildup is so scary and well done. Then, like the feeling you have knowing Rocky's going to avenge his death, the going to Russia, all of it. Yes, is it cheesy? Sure, but it's a Rocky series.
Peter,
they're all cheesy.
As you know, and since you're a lapdog, you understand and agree.
Sure, I do. Okay, I agree with what you're
saying. I'm a great
performer. Yeah, you are the best.
And I know great performances. That was not Rocky's best performance.
You know what, Michael? I just want to say you've said enough. I agree with you. You're right. Not only are you right, you're always right. You're handsome. And if you leave, please let me stay on the show.
Well, I did tell you if I leave, it will continue to be called The Michael Kay Show.
Yes, and I don't want a featuring even. I don't need it. I'd be proud. I will be Ryan Seacrest to your Dick Clark any day.
Don wouldn't.
I'd be out.
Don would be out.
No.
Don's giving me a list of things that would happen if I left that he would be out. I'm scared for him.
I want you to know that even if you leave, and even if, God forbid, you move on, I mean in a physical sense.
Oh, like die.
I will continue the Michael Kay Show with you being a corpse.
The centerpiece.
Yes, and I will still.
It'll be like Weekend at Bernie's.
Weekend at Michael's. It'll be Weekdays at Michael's.
Right.
Why don't we do that? That's a good idea, Weekdays at Michael's.
Not bad.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you calculating?
So he's doubling down on his Rocky IV.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I doubled down on everything I've said this week.
That's right.
But
it's an insane take, and you're embarrassed and all?
So put him in order for me.
He just did.
I just did.
Here we go.
One, again. 3, 2, 5, 4.
But, oh my God!
You can't put 5.
You can't put 5 ahead of 4.
Didn't
you say yesterday, Peter? You 4 is the best.
No. I for me, 1 is the best because I'm a romantic and I love the love story of him and Adrian. It's a beautiful story. It's the best film. I think if you were to ask the average person between the ages of 30 and 45, 35 and 45, 35 and 50, whatever, I think the average person would say 4 is their favorite. They've watched it a million times.
There's no way.
It's their favorite.
There's no way. There's no way 4 is their favorite. There's no way.
I'm telling you.
No,
well,
it
listen,
can be. It is. To a lot of people, it is because of just not the quality of the flick, just because of how entertaining it is. But if you're going to let one line about us all getting together at the end of the movie, which was cheesy, I get it.
Sure.
But you also got to live in the time. In 1985, it made a little bit more sense.
I think right? Sly might have gotten a little full of himself then.
But in the street fight that Peter's talking about, with right. Tommy Morrison in the street in Rocky
Jumping
5.
Jumping over the car. Yep.
There is a quote that just, it sends chills down my spine in a vomit sort of way.
Okay.
When Rocky's son goes, he took my room.
Oh, my God. No, you got so many lines. You got, he took my room. You also got, Tommy Gunn only fights in the ring. My ring's outside.
I thought Tommy Morrison, who had met, an early death.
Sadly.
I thought he was very good in the
No,
movie.
No, he was. He did act very well. But what about, come on, you're talking about cheesy. What about the cheesy fake Don King they have in 5?
I thought he nailed it.
Oh, see, he just will never admit that he's wrong.
No, he's embarrassing himself and his family.
There is nobody that
My
does
outside.
Not have 5 except you at 5.
My favorite thing about all of them, my favorite thing about every Rocky is that no matter what is being said, Paulie thinks that someone's saying they're better than him. No matter what the situation is. You think you're better than me? Paulie, the great Burt Young.
Well, after that, and I stand by my take, if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I'm a performer, and that's what I do. It's 98.7 ESPN Super Box Bonanza 2023. You know this, Peter. This year, each of the 100 qualifiers will take home huge prizes, including Solo stoves, Beats headphones, Billy Joel tickets, Amex gift cards, and much more. Be caller number, let's see, we're talking about Rocky IV, right? Be caller number four at 888-987-ESPN right this second to select a box for the big game with a chance to win thousands of dollars. And the grand prize scorer wins a trip to Bimini in the Bahamas, plus $2,000 cash. It is all brought to you by our very good friends at Bartesian Premium Home Cocktail Makers, Sloman's, Resorts World Bimini in the Bahamas, PC Richard & Son, Grand Marnier, and 98.7 ESPN New York.
You knock him down. Why don't you try knocking me down? These are all the great Rocky V lines, in case you didn't know.
You could solve the world's problem. That was a good one, too.
That's not what he said. He didn't say you can solve the world's problems.
What did he say?
I change, you change, we can all change.
You know what we do? We find it, we air it. We analyze it. Free and air.
And then you can also air My Ring's Outside from Rocky V.
Wow.
You didn't, what's the word? Drape yourself in glory? What's the thing you like to say?
You didn't drape yourself in glory. Cover yourself in glory.
Cover yourself. Yeah, you're not covering yourself in glory.
I like
right
drape.
Now. It's been a rough week. This is your worst take.
Yeah, that's saying something.
Well, I'm not talented.
Let's just take that.
I have bad opinions.
Yeah. No,
somehow
it is, you are
through
such
the grace
a baby.
Of God, through the grace of God,
yeah.
I've lasted 21 years on the air in New York without any shred of talent.
Yeah,
without the ability to do hackneyed imitations of people.
Oh.
None of that.
Yeah, I don't
and
think he's going to do
done. Able at last 20. And something that Don and I built, we didn't take it over from anybody and move into the penthouse already furnished. This is our creation. And if we want to tear it down, which it looks like we're doing, we'll do it.
Well, Michael, listen, you know, you're known for certain things, a local talk show as well as many other things, a highly regarded sports media personality throughout the country. I try my best to dabble a little bit in the hip hop thing and the WWE thing. I've tried to make my mark where I can, but
sure,
you know,
I'm not crazy about Rosenberg.
There's nothing like jumping in a seat that's already hot, sitting around next to a guy who's already been there forever, and acting like you own the place. That's something, though.
Right, right.
And by the way,
preening around like you built it. You had nothing to do with building it. The guy who's on in the afternoon built it, not you.
By the way, if God forbid you gave me a police lineup, and you said, go pick that person out, and you said, not only that, ask every single person that you work with at the other radio station who this person is, not one person would say it. I'd walk up to a hobo on the street and say, excuse me, are you the co-host of a morning program here in New York? Because I've never heard of you or physically seen you anywhere.
Don, you still stand by what you said?
I'm going to stand by.
And by the way, it might have been worse to you. It might have been worse to you, Don.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.